Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hi, welcome to a brand new episode of But Am I Wrong? We've had a lot of technical difficulties today, but hopefully things will be acting correctly. Now, this is a special But Am I Wrong, which is But Am I Watching? We're going to be doing the
hit. Oh, girl, she stopped herself.
I did stop myself. We're going to be doing the
movie.
We're going to be doing Mean Girls, the movie, the musical.
We added the subtitle to that because they didn't, which is so weird.
Not fetch at all.
No, not whatsoever.
I've already gone through my whole rant about this, but here we go again. I'm just going to start it off with my hot take because it encompasses everything that I feel about this movie, and it's that it has no heart.
Unlike the J-Lo movie, which was full of heart.
That was full of hearts. It started off with hearts, hearts, hearts.
Yeah, the heart was the powerhouse of the cell. They said, fuck the... J-Lo said, fuck the mitochondria.
I tried not to compare it to the original film. I tried to have it stand alone, but they left me no choice because the original film is so good and it's a classic. Like, I still watch it at least once a year, and it's been... This came out my senior year of high school.
What a perfect time.
I know.
That's really good. I was too young for it. I watched it anyway, I went with a friend and their mom. Mm.
This just leaves a lot up for no interpretation because it doesn't have heart. They just say what they say with no nothing. There's no layers. The only person that has layers is Janice. I'd argue that this is her film because all the emotion, all the climax, all the resolution, all rides on her. She even gets like the major emotional song that carries us through actually twice she does. So
yeah,
this is Janice's film. Katie has no layers. Regina has no layers. Gretchen has no layers. Dumlin has no layers. Miss Norbury has no layers. They take
we
away.
Do have to talk about Karen, though.
We like are going to talk about Karen because it is...
It's offensive.
It's very offensive. Katie has... Where's her dad? He's just not mentioned at all. Her mom's not wearing a wedding ring. Like, why did we take that away? We don't really see her relationship with her mother. She has no relationship with Miss Norbury. I'd even argue no relationship with that dude, which...
Aaron.
Why did they cast him? He has no song, so they...
No, he can't sing. He said, I won't do it. And then he said, I can't sing. And then they offered him the role and they said, well, we'll cut out all your songs. And he said, okay.
But why? The net was so wide.
I think he's wondering too.
The net was so wide for anyone you could cast. Why him? I don't even buy her relationship with Janice and
Damien.
I don't buy her relationships with the other girls. There's just nothing there. And I do not blame the actress. I blame the writing. Regina, she's not written as a manipulator. Where's her sister? Like, that's missing. I thought Renee did a great job with what she was given. There was no manipulation there. And then Gretchen, we don't know. We just know that she's sad. We do not know that she's a sad rich girl. There's no reference to toaster strudel. And then Karen, why?
She should sue. She should sue for what they made her do.
Why?
Like,
her song was fire. I'll give her that. Like, her song.
Oh my
God. I loved her song. The best song
of
the whole thing. Yeah, she was great.
She's a great dancer. She's like so wonderful. But the fact that I know for a fact that someone gave her a note being like,
play it more
like fish.
Mm-hmm.
And she went, okay.
I got it.
First of all, I hope someone gave her some eye drops. And some and water constantly, because how wide she had to keep her mouth open and her eyes open. I was like, she's exhausted.
Yes.
Let this bitch blink.
Then Miss Norbury making her and the principal together. Why?
Yuck.
We take away yuck. We take away her layers of being recently divorced and also her having the second job working in the mall. I understand that malls may not be that big of a thing. Make it an outdoor mall. Like, it doesn't have to be the store mall. Make it anywhere. Give it somewhere else to be. They can be anywhere.
Yeah.
She could be working at a fast food restaurant that they hang out at. Like,
mm-hmm.
Where are the layers? Yeah, I liked what they expounded on was Janice and her story, like her backstory. Like, I thought that was great. I thought that was smart. But everything else, it just left a lot to be desired, and I am disappointed.
Yeah. The amount of times I said out loud, oh God, what are they doing? And Mats is like working, and he's like, do you have, I was like, I'm watching this for the podcast. He was like, okay, like how, I was just going for you. It is just like, I literally had to Google immediately as soon as it started. What I was like, this is not meant for a movie screen. Like, there's just no way. And of course, I looked it up to see the budget, because movies nowadays, they either spend so much less money. Like, they used to make like rom-coms, like back in the day, used to have crazy fucking huge budgets, mm-hmm. really not for much reason other than the actors. And now those movies will be straight to streaming and they will be much lower budgets. But then you'll have these like superhero movies that cost like 12 times as much as they used to cost. And so this was one that I was like, there's no way. Looked it up. $36 million budget.
It looks so cheap.
It looks so cheap. They spent all of that money on Tina Fey and the Lindsay Lohan cameo.
Without a doubt.
Like,
and Meg Thee Stallion.
And Meg Thee Stallion. That's what I said when we first recorded mm-hmm. it. Like, and Meg Thee Stallion. Like, that's where all of the money went, because they had to order all of the wardrobe from Shein, and they couldn't get a, like, I don't even know if they filmed it at a real fucking high school or like a soundstage, but whatever it was.
I think it was a school. It looked like an old school.
Because the ceilings that were featured so prominently anytime they tried to do a wide shot, that's how you know this is supposed to be watched on a television screen, on a computer, or on a phone. Not supposed to be in a movie theater. But I was just like, that made it all make so much more sense to me, because it was like, oh, this is like a featurette. Like, when you do something that's like straight to streaming in that way of something that's already been made, to me, it's giving Grease Live.
Yeah.
You know,
which I watched numerous times. I was a big fan of.
But like, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a time and a total place for that. But this was just such an odd choice because like to adapt a musical that's already adapted from a movie back into a movie where you will have to cut a large chunk of the musical aspects. If you're not going to like replace it with the parts from the original movie, it's just like a weird rendition mm-hmm. of like both and like a weird amalgamation of it. And it made a whole lot more sense to me in my head that this would have been a fun thing for streaming, especially with like, I don't know, we hit like some Mean Girls anniversary year or whatever. And I don't know why Broadway is like so vehemently against just like filming Broadway shows and releasing them because like I love that shit. Like I watch Legally Blonde the musical and it's like 240. Like it's like the worst quality in the world, but people love that. And so for some reason they're like, no, we have to make the movie musical version of it. And I just think it was, I just feel really bad for the actors because people were like really hating on them.
It's not them at all.
It's not their fault at all.
As the song from this film says, it's not my fault. Like it's not, it's truly not their fault at all. They just took so much that was there, this thing that this movie that's like adored 20 years later, and they took out everything that made it great. And I'd argue that the original film felt more of a musical than this one.
Melissa, when I tell you, I feel like I take such umbrage with the set deck, like the set decoration of this film, as well as like the lighting and the cinematography. Again, not against those specific departments, but the choice that was made that was like so clearly, I would bet money this was filmed in less than 28 days. Like it is just so like, well, we're already here. Just throw a couple more things in here. Like there wasn't a color palette. There mm-hmm. wasn't like any of that. It was just like so thrown together. The fact that it took us halfway through the movie for one person to dance, I go, bitch, this is a musical.
Right.
Shake your ass.
Like if
you're J-Lo opened with a heart and dancing and you can't give me a single fucking dance.
I was just like, if you're gonna spend money on existing property that is adored 20 years after and you're going to do this as a musical, you have to make it so big and spectacular that no one is comparing it to the OG.
You know what they needed that they didn't have? Kenny motherfucking Ortega.
Yeah.
Kenny motherfucking Ortega would have made this shit his bitch. And you know what he would have done? He would have said, no, girls, these girls are mean. Mean. Mm-hmm. I need us to mean it up. He would make you dance. I was like, I literally wrote down in my notes, why didn't they film this at that fucking random place in Utah with all those great professional dancers who go, like literally all the fucking pros who are on Dancing with the Stars and or like any other professional like show. All of those kids were dancers on in High School Musical when they were children.
Yep.
Like go to Utah. Like it's come where, ship them in. Ship the Utah kids in.
And they played this way too safe. The title of this is Mean Girls. Like, you're supposed to be mean. I understand cutting the stuff with Coach Carr out. Like, cut that out. We do not need that. But everything else that makes this mean, it's not there. They're cunty, but they're not mean. Like, they're not doing anything that is specifically, like, the thing. Like, we cut out, you know, people being segregated at the lunch table. That still happens. Like, it's okay.
Yeah. Also, unfortunately, the Coach Carr stuff also still happens. I also agree. We don't need to see it.
We don't need to see it. But like, it could be like, a rumor that's going around.
Yes.
We don't need to see him hooking up with anybody, but it could be a rumor going around. And you get John Hamm is another where the budget went. Why is Hamm in that role? Like, he doesn't need to be there. It doesn't add anything. We only see him for once. His stuff probably took 10 minutes to shoot.
That's what I'm saying. Like the fact that this was filmed in New Jersey, I was like, this, what do you mean? This could have been filmed on the same stage where they shot Grease the Musical mm-hmm. live and they could have come in for a day.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't funny at all. It lacked nuance. Yeah, I think that's all my major hot takes that we'll get into more as you go and then we hear from other people.
I would like to take a moment to acknowledge another thing that was missing from this movie, and that was hair extensions. And I'm not here to shame thin hair whatsoever, but I am here to let you know that if you are doing a feature film or a music video, if you are watching that, every single person there has hair extensions in, or they have teased, they've got like literal pieces of things to add volume to the hair. I was like, we're just whipping our hair and the hair goes, and it's just gone. And I'm like, where's the fucking hair? Like, when I, Regina George, fucking Rachel McAdams wore a goddamn fucking full lace front wig in the original Mean Girls, and Renee Rapp couldn't have some clip-ins? You couldn't give her any of that? Like, it was just so fucking budget to me. And like, I repeat, as somebody who has been on budget things, do you know who had extensions in Freakish? Me. This bitch. They said, we can't, no, no. Your hair's too thin. It's just a matter of like how, when you light things, like it just looks so weird. And even Mott said, he was like, I don't know if this is like weird to say, but he's like, I just like, part of the reason why like Mean Girls still works now versus like a lot of other movies and TV shows where the actors are much older than the roles that they're playing is but like because of the what they're doing in Mean Girls like is a little more adult, and you're okay with it because these people are clearly fucking adults. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's not that. And he goes, this is, these are children. And I go, but they're not really, but they're making them look like so much. They are younger than the original girls, but they're making them look so much younger. Mm-hmm. That I was like, stop, because this is, we like, no. And that's why I also feel like they couldn't be that mean, because I'm like, why are you making them all like they're seven, like 16 years old? Like, yeah. This is not, it was just felt way too young in that sense. I thought all the social media stuff was like so fucking weird. I really, really fucking hate when they do, anyone does like pretend iPhone footage. Just shoot it from a real fucking phone and like, mm-hmm, show the difference in the quality. Like, that's funny. Like, that adds something funny there. And it doesn't just make it look like you actually believe it's social media. You don't need like the little likes and the usernames like rolling up. And yeah, that to me, I was like, okay, cool. This is meant for streaming. This is meant to watch on the same platforms and the same like technology that we have those apps on. The product placement in this movie was so fucking crazy to me that like, I just have questions. Like, I would love to see the tax forms for that. Like $36 million, at least $500,000 to Lilo for her cameo. But so we have Tarte, we have Elf. I'm sorry, the Seat Geek. I was like, is this a David Dobrik vlog? Like, I was waiting for them to be like, and also sponsored by David Dobrik. Like, it was just so intensely odd that I want to know who made so much fucking money off of this, because that's an that's a way too high budget. Where's the money? Where's the money? Like, where, truly, where is the goddamn
fucking
money?
They spent it on the graphics during Karen's song. That's where the money went.
No, I just need to know. I need to know. I need to see some fucking receipts. I need to see a spreadsheet. No, I do. Like, and I'll learn how to read a spreadsheet, and then I need them to send it to me, because like, this is crazy. Like, I'm not accusing them of like money laundering, but like, I do have some questions, because did someone scam them? Because I know the hair department could not have been, like, with that $36 million, not one extension in sight. And also, I know for a fact that Janice, she did like a lot of like her own DIY, like adding things to her clothes and her makeup and stuff. And I'm like, this is giving very much Sam Levinson, who's like, I'll just have my actors do all the other jobs on top of it. It pissed me off. And so I also had an issue with like the, where did the fucking mean go? Like, it's giving girls, mm-hmm, Lena Dunham.
But they were meaner. I'll even say the girls' TV show, they were meaner than this.
Of course, yeah, they were. Because
it was Lena Dunham.
It was Lena Dunham, which, hey, you know what? Works for some people. But the thing that like I was like so confused by was the half in, half out shit about like weight and body shaming.
Yes.
It was like, no, you actually have to pick what's, you can't just try and water it down, because like at the end of the day, point blank, the fat shaming and the body shaming, no matter like what level you do it to, if you say it once or you say it four times, like you've said it. You've so said like it, yeah. Was just so odd and so fucking weird that it was like, oh, we're all super body pot, like, oh, it's like nothing about that, but it's like, oh, but she's still gonna like, she's gonna get fat, she's eating the calcium bars to gain weight, and then it's like, oh my god, but we're not gonna call her a fat ass. I'm like, but you just did,
right?
Like, it's so fucking weird.
And then also with the calcium bars, they changed it from being like bars that they were using in Africa for malnourished children to, this is what we give our grandparents so that they can eat. And I'm just like, why did you change that? Like, that doesn't... No,
and then she gains weight, and then they're basically like, hey, you're fat. And it's like...
Right. But the whole thing is, it's like, it's supposed to be in a different language, so then yes, she doesn't look it up. Like, it makes her dumber than she needs to be. And then her mom knows exactly what it is. That makes no sense.
It makes absolutely no fucking sense. And then you have like her on the treadmill, and it's like, mm-hmm, okay, so we do care about weight here. Like, it's just like, you can't half-ass this. Like, and again, like, just, and I have this as like I haven't even watched Poor Things yet, but like, I see all the discourse online, and like, depicting something is not condoning something. And so like, I do think that like, you can show people being awful and fat, like the people being awful and fat phobic in the original Mean Girls did not make me go, fuck fat people.
Right.
I was like, oh my God, they're such bitches.
Right.
Like, that's the goddamn fucking point.
That's so,
like,
the point.
Just showing that doesn't mean that. But also, if a character or an actor or like producers or anyone in network isn't comfortable with it, great. Don't be comfortable with it. But like, don't pretend you're not comfortable with it and still do it.
Give it something else. And then also we have like when they're in front of the mirror, the first time Katie goes over and they're in front of the mirror doing the things where they're talking about the things that they're insecure about. We have Katie outright saying, yeah, I'm ugly. That's not, you're missing the whole, like, it's supposed to be underhanded. It's not supposed to be like, I just get it. And like, yeah, I'm ugly. No, she has to say something else that she's actually not, she's not ugly. Not that I mean in that way, but she has to say something.
No.
She has to pick out something that she could maybe be insecure about.
Yeah.
They're force feeding things.
And you know how I know they're force feeding it? Because Mots goes, whoa, why did they make the girls so insecure in this movie? I go, oh, babe, they were insecure in the other one too. You just, and he was like, they were? And I was like, oh, yes. They all hated themselves.
Yes.
And he was like, what? And I was like, yeah, it was just subtle. And like, but this, like, he was like shocked. It felt like such a huge pivot to him that it was like, and again, he's on his laptop working, making his own spreadsheets, wish he could get access to theirs, doing that. And then like, even in his half watching state, he can recognize that and see that, which I felt like frustrated with too. I really fucking hate the, people say like, oh, like woke culture. No, not that. I really hate when people pretend that they care about X, Y, and Z, but then still do it. It's like being like, well, I don't think this, and I would never say this, but I'm going to say it. And I'm like, no, that doesn't compute. Like, you either stand by it or you don't. And I just thought that was like, it was just so weak. And I don't actually blame Tina Fey for that, because Tina Fey is not that. Tina Fey is not the kind of person to be like, let's make this nicer.
No. I binged all, which I know she isn't the creator of, she's an executive producer, but I watched the new season of Girls Five Eva this weekend. I didn't mean to, but I watched the full fucking season, and I was just like, this comedy, she should have, if she wasn't comfortable translating this script for film, she should have brought the woman that created that show on to make it fresher, because that show is very underhanded in everything that they're saying. Like, it's very understated, but they're saying something specific for every single character and doing all the things that the first Mean Girls is doing all the same things. But like, just bring it over. Busy Phillips is in that too. She's great in that.
It was so odd, and like the using of like the music, I just thought was like, it's not a musical. Like, it is just like a movie with like random songs, and the songs don't move the plot forward whatsoever. So they waste time. And so then like, it's moving so fucking fast, but it just feels like we're cutting out anything important and like anything of like building who the characters are. So I just was disappointed by that. The only song that I was like, no, this is great. Keep going. This is not actually like wasting precious plot time was I'd Rather Be Me. And that's also because that in the musical, I think, is the best like song in the original musical. It's like just very, very, very great. The actual arrangements of this musical are odd. It's not like any like not I don't want to say normal, but it's not like classic musicals. There's like a lot of musicals in the last like 5 to 10 years that have like different. They're just different. They're just different in the sense of the songs and they're singing on the offbeats or whatever it is. And that doesn't translate to film incredibly well. Because like you kind of need acoustics and you need a hell of a lot of voices. And when you just have voices like on a recording, it just will always sound, it's just always going to sound a little bit different. And so I do think that I know people are really upset about them rearranging specifically all of Katie's songs because they weren't within her range. I don't have an issue with that. But I think at that point, like, make it a song that is for a movie musical. Mm-hmm. Because if they're not translating and the actor can't sing it, I'm fine with that. Like, I wish that they had Broadway actors like do musicals. Like, I think that we get really good performances that way. I think Broadway actors and stage actors can do film. Like, I don't, because it's not supposed to be fucking subtle. So like this, I think of like, well, they're not subtle. I'm like, well, they're breaking onto fucking song and dance and they're like pretending to be cats. I was like, please stop doing this. This is so, when they're pretending to be all the animals, except they're not the watering hole. They're just like at the school,
right.
Like at the school with the bench. I was like, budget, take them to the mall. This is so fucking weird. There's no watering hole.
Put Katie's BO in. It felt so empty.
Well, I was going to say, I think that they spent all of that money and all that for the opening scene of her CGI talking over Africa. As soon as that started, I went, oh no, this setting the tone, like, oh God. But I thought about that the whole time. Like, where's the voiceover? Where is like the storytelling throughout this? Like, they just didn't give her any of that. Mm-hmm. And again, like when you take out a huge chunk of the plot and you give us these like musical interludes that you're like, oh, fun break, watching a song, listening to a song. There is no narrative, like, at all. And it was just so weird. And to try and separate themselves so much from the original Mean Girls, I'm like, this actually doesn't stand alone because you would not understand it. Also, they took out Lady Smith Black Mambazo with Neil deGrasse Tyson they put in? Who they say, like, she was going to go see someone?
Yes, do it. Yep.
First of all, Neil deGrasse Tyson keeps winning. J-Lo movie mm-hmm. and this. But, like, what happened to Lady Smith Black Mambazo?
Right.
Why are we cutting things for the sake of... Also, Neil deGrasse Tyson isn't like a topical reference. Lady Smith Black Mambazo was not anything I ever knew or heard of prior to the Mean Girls movie, but it is ingrained in my brain that if someone said lady, I would go Lady Smith Black Mambazo. Mm-hmm. Like, doesn't have to be a part of my things that I like consume or know about, but that's what good art does. It, like, that sticks with you. Neil deGrasse Tyson. What?
No.
That's the punchline? Neil deGrasse Tyson.
No. But even with that, isn't her mom studying culture, not science stuff? So, like, why would she be excited to go see Neil deGrasse Tyson? She studies culture. That's what she would be excited about, is going seeing, not Neil deGrasse Tyson, the original.
Well, it's just a little fucking weird because the Lady Smith Black Mambazo thing is like, I looked it up, South African specifically. They just moved from Africa. Neil deGrasse Tyson is just black.
Right.
Like, this is a black science. Like, I'm like, what? Like, where? How does that aid in this fucking story?
No.
Whatsoever. They were like, well, let's replace it with someone more topical.
No.
Okay, Lori Harvey then.
The point.
Coco Jones. Like, you're going to do someone more topical. It's not Neil deGrasse. No offense, Neil deGrasse Tyson, but like, Neil deGrasse Tyson isn't singing. It's supposed to be about musical. Like, what? It's just so, it was just, yeah, I was just so surprised by the like specific lines that they decided to like punch up. Mm-hmm. And like, I will say, I think the actors who had to deliver like Get In Loser, We're Going Shopping, Too Gay to Function, or Oh No, She Didn't, like all of those things, like, I really liked all of the choices they made to like make those iconic line deliveries their own. Like, I had no issues with that. And like you said, like, I really want to stress, like, this is not on the actors whatsoever. Like, I think they all did great. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they did fantastic with what they had. And you can tell that I'm like, they're putting a lot of fucking thought into this because they want to make these very iconic lines their own. And so I'm like, give them more to do. Like, yeah. Give them something.
I thought the best in speaking with those lines, like, Karen's lines, I'm a mouse, duh. I liked how that was incorporated into the song. Like, you mm-hmm. knew it was coming and you were waiting for it, but they incorporated it in the song. And I was like, great, this is wonderful. Why are we almost at the end of the movie where, like, some things really start hitting?
Yeah.
And even then, it just filters back after that.
It's just so, and like, they were never a collective or an ensemble. Like, I didn't see them being friends at mm-hmm. all. Like, you didn't see any of that history. And the times when they all individually shine is when, like, specifically Karen, when she's doing her Halloween dance number, none of the other girls really there. Like,
no.
So it's just her and then, like, backup dancers, mm-hmm. which is fine. But, like, it's just, it's so hard to buy them as friends, let alone these are the hot, cool, popular, rich girls. Because also, they tried to, like, make it, like, I don't know. I really like social hierarchies in high school, like, the depiction of them. I think, like, you can't just try and translate this to, like, nah, everyone now has blue hair and they're all alternative. And I'm like, cool. That's how I grew up in my high school. Like, that was my high school. So my high school didn't have this kind of hierarchy. The Regina George, like, the Karen, the Gretchen, like, those girls didn't exist because they don't exist in the same world as that, because they don't get the, like, adoration and I want to be like them. So you have all these people who, like, want to be like them, but you're like, no, we're just, like, we're going to make everyone be, like, super alternative and, like, super cool. And, like, you know, they're all really accepting. I'm like, no. That's not how this works. Like, you can't do that.
It still exists. Like, I went to my niece's school, who is the age that they're supposed to be. All of it still exists. Maybe it's a little nicer. I will say they're a little nicer, but all those hierarchies still exist.
Like, we had a social hierarchy at my school, but they were like arrogant film kids. Like, you can't just take like half of this and then adjust it to be like, oh, we're trying to be like, you know, more on the pulse. And I'm like, But no, that's like not how it works. Kids at my school would get bullied if they drove Hummers or like non-hybrid cars. Like you can do that. Like you can have people be assholes. Like anyone could be an asshole.
You just have to pick where it is.
Yeah. And so I thought that like if you wanted to make like the most popular girl in school be like a Janice Ian, Janice would have been it would have made so much more fucking sense if you want to keep that archetype. I
would have loved if Janice would have just leaned into it and just made Janice the lead.
If Janice and Damien were the two most popular kids in school, that is believable based on every other person we've met at that school.
Yes.
Yeah. I also would love, I need to take umbrage with the exterior of Regina George's house. Whoever decided to pick that, fired. Like, what do you mean she lives in this box and then we go inside and it's absolutely massive? Like, it was just so not it. It was just so not it. Like, I really hate with the whole, like, doesn't always happen with streaming, but a lot of the time when we make things that are like done and we don't plan to see them in movie theaters, the set dressing, set deck, like location, all those people get budgets like severely fucking cut. Mm-hmm. And they don't get to like do this like grandiose, beautiful shit, which is so frustrating. Like, obviously the set department and the art department for Barbie spent so much fucking money. But like, if you want to do a campy movie musical, look at Barbie, then throw music in there. Like, mm-hmm. Give me those sets. Give me those stages. Like, if you want to be camp, you have to be camp. You can't just have camp be like 20-year-olds wearing Shein crawling on the ground at their high school. Like, that's not camp. Like, that's just like improv. Like, it's just weird. It's just such an odd choice. And I was thinking that I wasn't going to be annoyed by the wardrobe because everyone was talking about that online, but I really was. And I think like what someone had said, they're like, oh no, but like all the cool kids at school, like wear Shein. And I'm like,
they do.
But that's not what a movie's about.
Yeah.
You know, like the girls, people at my growing up, like I didn't see people dress like the girls from Mean Girls, but like I still wanted to dress like them. Like movies weren't always about seeing yourself.
We did dress like that. Me being the age that they, like I'm the age that they are in the film, and it came out when I was in high school. So like we did dress like that, but it still needs to be elevated, and it wasn't elevated at all.
Yeah. Mean Girls supposed to be aspirational. Don't make mm-hmm. them dress like every other, like, because they're not. The whole point is like they're supposed to be, even the mean girls who watch them should be like, I wish I was like them. Like, right. They're envious to everyone.
Yep. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. And when we get back, we'll get into the hot takes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
We're back from the break, and it is time to get into your hot takes, thoughts, and feelings about the movie.
And we had a lot. This is the most that people have written in, but I will say, I do believe, I didn't really read what they were saying, but the glimpses I was getting while I was taking the screenshot, it seems like everybody has about the same thoughts about the same things.
Yeah. Okay. Hot take: for it having a big budget, it looked low budget. Vocally and gory sticks out like a sore thumb next to Renee and Ali, but I thought she was a great actress and a good choice for Katie. I agree with that. My like somewhat lukewarm take was I thought that BB could have been a good Katie because she has a lower register if they wanted to incorporate a lower register. I think it's fine if people have a lower register and like altos in movie musicals because that's not common in Broadway. Like you will just pretty much always have sopranos and mezzos. But if you want to have especially like young kids who like download the soundtrack and like sing it at home, it is good to have a like female alto voice in there so like kids can sing along to that if they like that song. So I'm fine with that. I don't need like that register. And it did seem like what, like I think Angoria has a like a very nice sounding voice. I don't think they trusted her as much as they trusted BB who played Gretchen. So like she got to like sing more even though the song was very like low energy and it gave the similar vibes as Stupid in Love, which, small segue, if Jason Derulo did not produce that song, I know nothing. Because when I heard that, I was like, get out of here, Jason Derulo. Like, I was waiting for it to go, Jason Derulo. Like, that sounds like every Jason Derulo song. Stupid din day. It's stuck in my head in a loop and not in a good way. Not her voice, the specific arrangement of the song.
When you mentioned BB, she had said in the film that something about her abuelito. And I was like, what are you talking about? She's Cuban in real life. And so they made her, they showed her heritage in the film. And I just saw that when I was looking something up.
That was them showing her heritage in the film?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She said, fuck toaster strudel. Then why couldn't she be the heiress to like some like Cuban packaged foods brand?
Right.
That would have been an actual nod to that.
Because
why do these rich girls also have this like cheap ass fucking plastic jewelry case? And it's from her abuelita? No, it's not. That might be from Etsy, but like, it's not that.
No.
And where was the chunky Tiffany necklaces? Because like, that's still in. Like, people still dress like the referencing from the original.
Like, everything that they're wearing in the original is back in style now. Like, yes. It's not.
And that's what pisses me off.
Yeah. All right. Someone said they seriously overdid exaggerate caring being stupid. In the original film, it's funny and lighthearted. In this film, it was unnecessary and whack. 100% agree. It's like she's playing dumb instead of just being dumb.
No, it was like alarming. It was to the point where I was like, someone sent her to the school nurse. Like, she's not okay. Like, it wasn't funny. It was like so fucking concerning. And also, and I mean this as a compliment, Avantika doesn't have a dumb face. Mm-hmm. And like, every time, like when Regina would like ask a question, like when she was like asking about the calcium porch, like, well, what does that like mean? Like, whatever. And she like looks at Gretchen. And I was like, why is Gretchen going to help? And then I was like, oh, because she's, Avantika's supposed to be, or no. So Katie, no, Karen is supposed to be dumb. Mm-hmm. And I know Ivantika is very, very smart in real life, but so is Nolan Gould. And that kid had dumb face in Modern Family. True. She doesn't have dumb face. And so they said, open your eyes really wide and open your mouth. But I think if they gave her more lines, she would have looked more dumb. But she doesn't, because they don't have her talk. They just have her gaping in the background.
Yeah. And then she says something. We miss the stuff with like her having a crush on her cousin, which is gross, but it still plays into the character. It's funny. And then we have this stupid thing when Katie's grounded and her mom tells her that Karen sent her a text message. And like her mom can't actually like read what it says, but Karen's being very sweet in the text message saying like, you're still my friend. But like her mom's like, all of this is misspelled. Like, it's hard for me to read. I'm paraphrasing, but that was the gist of what it was. And I was just like, no,
it felt like in trying
to
make her
ESPN line, like the brain stuff when she's filling her boobs, like all that. We don't see her doing anything that's actually dumb in this thing.
No. And I say this as somebody who has dyscalculia, who's got dyslexia, and who has ADHD. I felt like I was watching, like, I was like, this actually is more offensive.
Yes.
That, like, you're not making her, you're making me think that she suffered, that you're making fun of her because she either had a neurodevelopmental thing or she has a traumatic brain injury. She can't form a coherent sentence. And it's all like, oh, and I go, someone sent her to the hospital.
And that was another thing with like the three-way call being cut out, is that showed also like Karen was like aware of things going on.
A different kind of smart.
Like, yes.
Everyone is different kinds of smart. And like Karen, people like her. She's funny. Mm-hmm. She's popular. But like this to me, I was like, put her in a bubble because she's going to walk into oncoming traffic. Like it was just like so wildly unaware, and that we're supposed to believe that she's just made it all the, like, can she swim? Like, can she, I mean, not that we shouldn't be talking, but like, but I was just like, it was just so odd, the choice they made with her. And like, did she even deliver the line of like, everyone thinks I'm dumb, I'm failing almost like every class or whatever? Did she do that part?
No.
Because I want to say she did the, I can fit my fist in my mouth. No?
I don't remember.
But I don't remember her doing that whole bit there where, like, you know, we see her acknowledge that, mm-hmm. like, no, I'm like failing like almost every, like, there.
Yes, that's not there, because that was none, like, that's not, like, I'm saying all the layers are missing. They're just surface level in this freaking film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyways, next up. Ivantika should have had a bigger character arc. BB's closet scene/song did nothing for me. I also miss the Julius Caesar monologue. They may have helped create a better character development for Gretchen, the sexy Virgo. I agree with that. I was waiting for her song the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was waiting, and I go, oh, she just gets to sing three words in a hot, steamy closet holding a little jewelry box. Like,
no.
And then they give her the high heels. And I go, why would you give her these shoes to wear when none of you wear these shoes to school?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense. I got such bad secondhand embarrassment when she threw those on.
I did too.
And also, this movie was offensive to fashion, because you see the character development of, like, the fashion tells a story in the original. Like,
it does.
You see when Damien, the only good outfit I will say is the pink vest, but also, like, it was not, the size, the ratio of the clothes did not make any sense. It did not look like the same silhouette. Like, it was mm-hmm. like, oh no, this is gonna look a little too frumpy. It's like, make it a little smaller. I'm like, that's not, doesn't make any sense for this. And like, that's the whole point. And then she starts going into like the color palettes of the Mean Girls with her same silhouettes. And then we get into the Mean Girl, the plastic silhouettes with the same color scheme. No, we're like 90% of the movie and she's wearing a jersey. And I'm like, take that off, Katie Herring.
Right. Right. It's like, and I know in the original, like, Lindsay Lohan wanted to wear the more fashionable stuff early on. And they were like, no, like, it was so important to the director that they do not change. Like, she doesn't change until she has to change. Mm-hmm. And all that was missing. All that was missing.
Yeah, I never bought her as plastic. When she has like the turn around with like the legs crossed, I'm like, she was wearing a yellow jersey yesterday. Mm-hmm. And you mean to tell me she's in a cropped little cardigan and a skirt and like these little heels? No, it's not how this works.
No. Someone said this was Regina and Janice's movie. They carried the movie, and their stunning acting and singing and performing, just top notch. Love and gory, but I don't think she was strong enough against Renee and Ali'i, who were the real stars.
I don't think
it was the acting. I purely think it was the script. So I disagree with that.
Yeah. And I don't know if people have seen her in other stuff. A lot of people only know her from Spider-Man, like where she played Betty. She's in Nice Guys with Ryan Gosling. And she's young, but she's not like, it's not like child actor phenomenon where she's like an adult now. And like some kids are really good and then they're not as great as an adult. Like she's still young and she's still young now. She's good. Like she's a very good actress. Like she's got the chops. But I think that I don't know. I think Katie's like a very misunderstood character from it. And I think specifically the musical, people love all the other characters more because, no offense, I think they have some of the better songs. So it felt like that was the focus in the casting. And then they were like, oh, well, the fan favorite songs aren't necessarily Katie songs. So just like change it. But I did see an interesting theory that originally they wanted Sabrina Carpenter, who Sabrina Carpenter was playing. There was like a small little window that was like, I think she only did two or three shows or something, that where Renee Rapp was still playing Regina at the very end of her go. And Sabrina had come in to do like, you know, yes, stunt casting, but like Sabrina Carpenter can like fucking sing. Like that's mm-hmm. a theater kid. And they were able to do, she was Katie and Renee was Regina. And they only had, I think maybe one or two shows before COVID shut down. And so everybody was like waiting for Sabrina. And it was like, oh, she's going to do it for the movie musical. When it was announced, everyone was like, oh, that's an automatic. And then she toured with open for Taylor Swift. So people did think that it's similar to Renee. They didn't have to worry about casting Renee. They already knew who their Regina was going to be. I think they probably thought they knew who their Katie was going to be. And the only thing you would turn this down for is opening for Taylor Swift's world tour. So I think that could have been it as well. And then I think that because of that, they just like watered down the requirements for the role. And I think I think she could have done so much more with it. But I think that the role that she auditioned for and or was given was just watered down because I think they were in a time crunch. But that's my theory. Oh, wow. Look at it. Same page. Mean Girls hot take. They wanted to cast Sabrina Carpenter as Katie instead of Angouri Rice. The people who cast the movie set Angouri up for failure since they surrounded her with Renee Rapp, Broadway vet with a great professional singing career, Ali'i Carvalho, a Disney princess with some of the best Disney songs, and, oh, we're going to get into this, Jaquille's Spy theme. Tony nominee and star of Tony's Best Musical of 2022, A Strange Loop. Thank you for that credential. They had the most singing parts along with Angouri, and it was just obvious that she didn't fit in with all of them. She's a good singer, but she's not the same level as the rest of the main cast. Sabrina Carpenter played Katie on Broadway opposite Renee Rapp, so I think Sabrina would have been the Katie to get and bring more people to watch the movie, especially since her run was cut short due to the pandemic. Sabrina can sing with the rest of the cast, but I feel like Angouri was struggling to keep up the whole time and was constantly overshadowed. Yeah, I don't even know if it was that she was struggling to keep up or they anticipated that she couldn't keep up, and so they gave her, like, they just didn't give her anything to do. Like, it's kind of like the songs that she quote unquote sang were like the start before you do like a running race, but we don't actually start running. Like you just like, she never even got to like really start singing. Like she's like talk singing and then like, and then it has like one or two lines that's actually singing. So like, we're not getting any momentum there for her. And she also, they didn't have her dance like really at all.
Yep.
So like, yeah, I just felt like I would be annoyed if I was her. Because I felt like I was set up for failure.
All right. Then someone said, the casting for Katie isn't as bad as people are saying, and I wish that they had brought back Amy Poehler as the cool mom. LOL. I just don't think Amy wanted to do it. Because if she wanted to, then she would have.
If it was originally going to theaters, she would have. Because here's the other thing that people might not know. If this was originally set for streaming, they decided after they had shown test audience, they didn't get paid feature length movie going to theaters money. They got paid streaming money, which like the hourly rate is like almost half. Like you're guaranteed, it's so fucking cut in half. And so anytime that you're seeing any name actor, anyone you recognize, it's because they're getting a much bigger payday. And it's not taking any time, like the John Hamm thing. Like that's going to take a fraction of the fucking time to do it. And so you're spending that money because working actors who are not names that you just place into this aren't going to necessarily accept this because this is not a lot of money.
But I think if Amy Poehler wanted to do it, she would have done it because her and Tina Fey are best friends. She just didn't want to do it.
No, without a doubt. I mean, I don't even think Tina Fey went to Amy Poehler and was like, hey, can you, like, it just was like, and this is just a streaming thing.
And I will, this might be a hot take to add on top of this, but Amy Poehler did change a lot of the lines in the original Mean Girls, including writing Kevin G's rap. So that might be why some of the funny is missing from this that I just thought of right now when that was brought up. I read the script. I will say I read the script. That was the script, the draft before the one that we saw of the original Mean Girls. And it's not funny.
Yeah. I mean, it's an adaptation of a book. And that's like that you need someone to punch it up. Mm-hmm. Like when you do an adaptation of something, I think it's like you necessary that you have a different party who didn't write the adaptation do the punching up because they're less they're less attached to it and less invested in that. The Kevin G rap was so disappointing for me. And also I hated how they lit him. Like when he's standing, like his hair is just a blob. There's no the lighting in this movie made me so upset because I was like, I know you're shooting in a real cafeteria.
Yep.
But give these people some light.
Yep.
Someone said the new Mean Girls movie is so fun and people who hate it don't know how to have fun. I mean, I'm glad I watched it.
Yeah, I'm glad I watched it too. I can watch, like I said, I can watch Karen's song over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Also, I personally absolutely love movies that are like stupid and silly and bad. Mm-hmm. So like to say that I would not say I hated this movie whatsoever. Like,
it's just in comparison.
No, it's just like, I'm just confused. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm having a great time talking about all the things I'm confused about. So like, it's not hate. Anyone will know the movies I hate. Lincoln. I hated that movie. There's nothing I hate more than someone saying, be on the edge of your seat. Guess what's going to happen? Is he going to sign this or not? And I go, I'm so sorry. I've actually read a history book. So like, I know what happens. I think that's the only movie I hate with like, and The Kingsman. There are girls in this movie, which therefore I can't hate this movie. Yeah. I only hate movies where there are no women.
There's one movie that I walked out of in my life, and that was Kate and Leopold. It's supposed to be a romantic comedy. Me and my friend were in the movie
Leopold?
Kate and Leopold is the name of the movie. And I feel like if it came out today on a streamer and they made it a Christmas movie, I'd be fine with it because it's literally about this man who is from the past caught up in the future. It is... I feel like Netflix has already made that. They took it and then, but that movie came out before Netflix was invented. This was when in like 2002, I want to say 2002, 2003.
2001.
Okay. And that's the only movie I've ever walked out of the theater and it should have been a hit, but it wasn't. And I think it's terrible. It's terrible.
May I read you a Letterboxd review that just popped up when I clicked on it? That internal dilemma, marrying Hugh Jackman or being able to vote. And I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. No, that to me, it's giving streaming vibes. Like it would be like a funny, silly movie like that. But
yeah,
there's a difference. The stakes are different when you watch it wherever
and
you watch
it. And that was before I even knew that streaming didn't exist at that time.
Crazy. So.
I know.
My hot take on the Mean Girls movie is that if people didn't know it was going to be a musical, that's on them. You literally have Google at your fingertips. All you had to do is type in Mean Girls movie 2024 and see what the deal was. I think people just wanted to see it anyway so they could be mad that it was a musical. But even then, the songs are fun and really good in my opinion. I genuinely enjoyed the musical aspect and how it played homage to the original while also being its own thing. Also bonus, Renee Rapp playing Regina George has solidified my theory that Regina is a closeted lesbian who's suffering from compulsory heterosexuality. I don't disagree with the last part. She's also said, like, Renee Rapp has like said that. She was like, no, like this is very gay. And the that part makes sense to me. And I like how Renee like played it. And that's like the only thing that I think it was an accident on the part of either Tina Fey or the original writer. Like, I don't think that that's like the through line through the books and through the original one or anything like that. But there
is... Yeah, the book doesn't even have these characters. The book is just a commentary on girls in the 2000s. Like,
but the idolization of like... other women, like the men here are just, they're fucking accessories. Like, they're irrelevant. Like, Regina's not popular because of who she's dating. Regina's popular because like everybody is like, oh my God, do I want to be her or do I want to be with her? Like, mm-hmm. And there's that aspect of it. And like, that Regina plays into that and she like knows that. And it's like, that's a level of confidence that like there are so few high schoolers, specifically high school women, who will have that like level of confidence there, that like it is a level of like, whether delusion or whatever that is, like, I think it is a very interesting take to have on that. And I do think that's why like Renee did a great job with that role, is because she brought something new to it. And she's one of the only people in that who I think that they would have let her make a lot of her own choices because she's attached.
It's pretty much said in the whole backstory for Janice and Regina's thing, is that Janice came out, had put a pride sticker on something. Regina did it too, in allyship, quote unquote. And then later, Regina, they're playing spin the bottle and Regina kisses Janice. Like, it's said right there in the script. It's all there. And I think it was played up. I think that the film should have ended better on that note. Because even at the dance, they're like in each other's faces, but then nothing comes from it. Like, we're supposed to say they made up, but like, have them hook up.
Well, and also Rachel McAdams' Regina is so flirty. Mm-hmm. Like, and Renee did it perfectly too. Uh-huh. It's so fucking flirty. Not with men. She's not. Nope. And only time she's flirting with men is when she's doing it in front of other women. Yep. And so like, that's actually interesting. Exactly. And it's actually interesting to watch. And that to me, it's like, oh, this is, without the actors, I don't think that it would have developed to that.
And the reason why she's doing it is because she's mad that that Katie isn't paying attention to her. That's the only reason. She's like, oh, Katie has a crush on my ex. It's not because Aaron is interested in Katie. It's because Katie is interested in Aaron.
Yeah. And we needed another Jonathan Bennett. Like, give me another host of the Cupcake Wars. Like, put him in here.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a great one. I agree with this. This is what I was trying to say earlier, but they said a lot better. There's nothing wrong with Ngari not being able to hit the Broadway notes, but they should have held that standard for every actor so that the tracks feel cohesive. Her more monotone voice throws the flow off when everyone else doesn't sing that way. I wholeheartedly agree with that. Like, it's just not cohesive, and not even just how she's singing it, but the arrangement of it. Like, it's so slow and Jason Derulo-y compared to everything else that it's odd. Like, you can give her like a talk singing kind of like indie sort of, or like Phoebe Bridgers. Like, you can give her someone who's doing, or a Billie Eilish without belting or hitting any of the crazy, like, you can do songs like that. Just, if you're going to write a whole new song,
I got to be honest,
accompany a whole new song.
I don't even remember any of her songs. I remember them happening, but I don't remember hearing it.
I only remember that one. Personally, I love the movie, mostly because of Renee, but I truly didn't think the movie was as bad as people made it out to be. As Megan said before, it's hard for a musical to translate well into film, but maybe because I don't know how movies are supposed to work, but the songs didn't feel jarring or out of place for me at all. Also, I've never gotten the chance to see the actual Mean Girls musical, so maybe if I did, my opinion would differ, but I truly feel like they did the best they could making this into a movie. Hot take, Katie's casting isn't actually that bad, and she's not a horrible singer. Even the worst singers can be made to sound decent, so I blame the sound engineers or whatever the fuck they're called. And also having to sing alongside Renee and Ali'i is going to be a stiff competition. This also isn't that hot of a take, but I think a lot of people shit on Katie because they expect her to be a powerhouse of a main character. But just like when the original Mean Girls movie came out, it was advertised around Lindsay Lohan because she was most popular at the time. And of course, now Renee is a bigger name on the project, so therefore the movie's branded around her. And of course, everyone else in the cast is very talented, but I truly don't feel like the casting of Katie was that bad. I think she did well and played a truly naive person who falls victim to manipulation of Regina and Janice. And hot take, maybe not that hot of a take, but Janice is definitely the true villain of the film. We also said this in the group chat. That's what, there's a group chat of people who are on our Patreon. If you want to join, they can let you in. We're not in it. They won't let us. It's really mean.
It's so mean.
It's like so mean.
Mean girls.
They're the true Mean Girls. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying it here because I agree, along with Katie's character, not having as strong of a voice, it kind of makes sense in comparison to Regina and Janice because she truly sees life through this la-la world of innocence and naivete. So it makes sense that her singing voice matches that. You know, I think that the big mistake is that I think that they forgot that when casting this, I think they forgot that they cast Lindsay Lohan as Katie. And so that made Katie a very important, like, that made people pay attention, that made people watch, that like made people do all of that. And you can do that with Regina, but like, you don't, no offense, Katie's not written a way where you love Katie unless it's played by someone who has that kind of draw and that appeal. So nothing wrong with Angori, like whatsoever. But I think that like, instead of bumping up the writing of Katie to like make you really care about her and have her be like the next it girl, because it's not inherently there, because that's not really how things work anymore. Like they just left it and they said, whatever, she'll be fine.
And I think taking out the VO where we're missing a lot of her internal monologue was a huge mistake, because you miss a lot of what Katie's thinking in her head. So that makes her less of a sympathetic character because we don't know what's going on with her.
Yeah, it's not from her POV at all, but it's also not from Regina's POV. So like, it's just weird. And it feels like they forgot that the reason why Lindsay's Lohan, like why she had all this, is because she was Lindsay Lohan.
Right.
But you wrote that for her. Like this was written for a power, like someone like that big like that. But you can't just strip all of that back and then expect the narrative to flow the same way. Mm-hmm. And the dress she wears to the party was criminal.
Oh, yeah. It was because they were trying to copy the original dress, but like not.
It felt like Pretty Little Thing Halloween costumes. So they're like, do you want to be a cat? Buy our fake latex bodysuit. And then here are some cardboardy ears that you can make that we don't sell.
Yeah, it felt like, to me, it felt like if Party City made Katie's outfit from the first one.
All of the fabric looks like Party City fabric. Like everything that they're all wearing. Like, it was just odd. And I know so many wardrobe designers who like would have, to me, this is giving like they gave no money for wardrobe whatsoever. Like I'm not blaming like specifically the people.
I worked on a high school show that they gave no money to wardrobe, but that they made that shit work.
And that's what I'm saying, that like I've like the same thing. Like they know how to do that.
But and they so, like, had money. That's the problem.
I know. And I'm like, well, we don't know where did the money go? But it's like they didn't spend the money and they didn't get the budget for it. And then it was like, keep it cheap. Make it look cheap. It was just so weird. And you couldn't have had like a Juicy Couture sponsor or UGG. We had to have Tarte and Elf and SeatGeek. Well, not Bellamy hair extensions. I cannot stress enough how upset I was based on the density of the hair. You can't do that on film. You can't have this lighting like this. And also, poor Renee, we have someone who is very rare, a natural, not the blonde as she is, she gets her hair colored, but like someone with a light, her hair disappears under those lights. Disappears? Ugh. And you know, they do have so much like teasing and hairspray and they just get in their cars on the way home and just try and brush it out. Avantika, you don't have to give you a BB. You give Renee, you give Angara, you give her some extensions. I would have loved that. Give Damien some extensions. Give him a little hair moment.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
And we're back. It is time for our final segment where we reveal
our final second or final segment.
Oh, I don't know how I said it. Where we're going to reveal the worst of the movie. And I have a worst and I have a best.
Okay. My worst of the film is the script one. And I've already talked about that. But my true worst is the fact that they tried to make Regina a siren. All her songs were like her. We didn't see her really do anything. It was just like her songs are supposed to be so alluring that it makes people fall in love with her. Mainly the song at the party. She's supposed to, like, she does nothing. Like, Aaron has no interest in her whatsoever at all. Then she sings her little song, which is a beautiful song, but it's very siren-like.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good way to describe it.
Yeah, that's, I believe that is what they're trying to do. It's like, she's a mermaid. She's a siren pulling him in and everyone else is like drawn to her. And then he's like, yes, Regina. In the original film, she kisses him and then he's like, okay, whatever. She sings her song and he's like, okay, whatever. And then she kisses him. There's like, it happens a couple times in the movie. And I'm just like, and again, she's doing it because she's mad at Katie, not because she wants Aaron. And I just think they were bad choices that were made. I'm just frustrated. My frustration might be the worst of the film.
I co-sign that.
It was just a bad take. If we're going to do best, I think that the only person that had character development in this whole thing was Janice, which I've said before, and I would make her the best of the film. I don't think somebody mentioned she was the villain. I don't think she was the villain. I think it was actually Damien might be more the villain than anything because he's the one that's like egging on for everything to happen. She's like, stop talking, whatever. He's the villain. She's not. She's kind of a victim. And I would have liked more if she had been, I've said this before, when you do a sequel, which this isn't specifically a sequel, but it's still in sequence is next after, if they would have made her the star of the film and then did it around her from her viewpoint, it would have been more interesting because we had like it's there. We open the film on her. We end the film on her. She gets the last song and she gets the most emotional pivots in the script. So like it would have been more interesting if they just made her a star and she could have been as mean as she wanted to be. And it would have been great.
I also think she has the most lines. Like, I think, like, yes, word count-wise, without a doubt, she does.
Yes. Like, she should be number one on the call
and
sheet,
she's not,
to be honest.
But
yes.
She has the role of a number one on the call sheet, but she mm-hmm. screen time does not. I mean, her screen time reflects number one on the call sheet, but, like, there's no way that she was. They just made her
she was probably
carry
three.
This film.
I think she's
I would
three.
Think she's three.
Yeah.
Actually,
She might be two.
She might be two. I think she actually might be two, especially because I think she was attached earlier than. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think she's two.
She's
that would
probably
be a confident
guess. Yeah. If y'all don't know what you're talking about, on call sheets, people are given number. Call sheets are, I guess I have to start there. Call sheets are what in film and television, you're given information about what's being filmed the next day. And every day this call sheet goes out and it says what scenes are being filmed. And then like the number that everybody's assigned is like their, and I hate using this term, but it is what it is, the importance that they have in the film. Yeah. And so Renee was number one and she's probably number two.
Yeah. It's like your schedule that you get and you get it every day. And so you'll see some people aren't on there. So it could go from like 1, 2, 5, 6, because the three is not shooting
that day.
The one and two aren't. And you have like all of that written out, but you can also negotiate it in signing on to a project, the higher build you are. And also that will reflect in like when you see like starring, blah, 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 like the name order usually. And so if you get attached early, that's another bonus of it.
Yeah.
So my worst is split pretty evenly between the looks. And the looks, it's not only the hair. I have no issue with the makeup, actually. Like, I think the makeup is, like, fine. It's split really between the hair, the clothes, the overall aesthetic and tone, visual tone of the movie. Like, it didn't make any choice. And that's what I think like is one of the subtle things that if you're not super into film or even into just like enjoying like things that like look beautiful. Like if you like lose yourself in projects and you don't see the little things, you might miss when there's like a color palette to a movie or there's like the styling of everything. Like you just see that like Mean Girls is this very muted color palette and the plastics are hot fucking pink. So like in other things, you'll see something that's like very muted color palette. And then you have the villain in red and you have like the hero in blue or whatever. Like you have this kind of story that you tell with that. And it blends in with like the colors and the outfits that people are wearing in like the background, the other characters, the set decorations, the posters in the background, the school colors, like how they've colored the like film and like done all of that kind of stuff. It makes people pop and it makes performances pop because like it's essentially like a spotlight on what you're supposed to be looking at, and that's expensive. Like it's expensive. It takes a lot of time and a lot of pre-production, and this didn't have that. And so because it didn't have that with like this, I don't know what came first, because it didn't have that with the set, it didn't have it with the outfits, it didn't have it with like how they're casting the extras, in the sense that like some of them looked way too fucking young and some of them looked definitely did not look like high schoolers. Like it was so all over the place. And we only had like two or three featured extras. And in Mean Girls, like one of the great things about the original is like when they're having like talking to camera, like I saw Katie Heron doing blah, blah, blah. They didn't do that. Instead, they're like, let's get the Merrill twins to record it. Let's get like another influencer to talk to their phone on it, that they're not utilizing like the actors that they have there. So like it doesn't feel like you're out of school. So the whole look of it just feels like you're not actually there. And so obviously the fashion is included in that. And the tie with that is the money allocation. Because $36 million, where did that go? Because when I ask the questions about the budget of Bottoms, they can point me in the direction of CGI in the last scene and the extras. I can understand that. This, like I said, I need to see the financials. I need to see the financials. And I need us as a industry to sit down and have a good, hard, long conversation about what we need, what projects we need to give more money to, and what projects actually don't need to have this much money, because not every movie that you make should make you profit 5 times the amount of the budget that was put into it, because it's just not realistic. Like, it feels like we're getting into house flipping territory where it's like, you can have a $1 million budget movie, but it better make $10 million. And it's like, what? Or if it's like $36 million, it's like, maybe it'll make two. It's just, I need us to not do that anymore. And my best of the movie, Damien. I'm addicted to this young man. I am addicted to his performance. And I like Googled him afterwards because I was like, this bitch is a fucking star. Like this bitch is a star. The confidence to portray that. And like the original Damien, he's like talking about how he like was closeted at the time that he like filmed the movie. And like, he was like so insecure and like, just like went through a lot of insecurities about that. And you can't necessarily see that in like his portrayal of the character, but like it definitely gives more like being gay in high school in the early 2000s. Like mm-hmm. it's a different vibe. And this Damien, he's given pretty much very much the same thing and does it totally different and just all his own, but still capturing the exact essence of it. Like I thought it was the best adjustment performance from that. And obviously Renee is included in that, but I knew what to expect with mm-hmm. her, like without a doubt. And so he like blew me away. And his voice is fantastic. I thought he was so funny. And the chemistry between him and Janice was so phenomenal that if I were working on the movie, I would have seen that and been like, oh, yeah, we actually need to rearrange this and make it from this because this is the only friendship we actually see. This is the only right. true friendship we see in the movie. And they were the only two mean people in the movie too. Mm-hmm. And so like, I just thought that obviously everyone did fantastic, but I just thought he did so fucking well because he's reading the lines on the page, but he's just doing it differently. And I loved it. I like loved his interpretation of it and was just so funny. And when he said my favorite line that he did that I was like surprised by oh no, she didn't. And I was like waiting for what he was going to do. And I loved him. And I thought he was like such a fucking star. So I'm addicted to that young man.
Did a great job.
So good.
Well, that's it.
R.I.P. to Katie Heron's dad. Hope you're well wherever you are.
Right. And there's that. I would say I'm sorry if you really like this movie, but it seemed like the majority of our listeners didn't. So you're on the same page with us. And I didn't even have high hopes because I already heard that people didn't like it, but I didn't look at why they didn't like it. As we were getting into it, I was just like, everybody's just one dimensional.
Yeah. I firmly like, no, I was gonna say firmly low key, which is a contradiction. I like low key think it should be illegal to take something that was streaming. Everyone was paid a streaming salary, not just people on camera, people behind the scenes. Everyone mm-hmm. was paid a streaming salary to then put it on in theaters or it even advertise it as being in theaters. Like it's just not, that's not how people make things. That's not how cinematographers do. Like it's just not, it sets the expectations because I think even though I watched it at home, if I knew this was for streaming, my expectations, even though I know people didn't like it, would have been so different.
Yep.
Because like what you demand from that and what you expect from that is so different.
Yep, agree. This was not your mother's Mean Girls because none of our mothers liked Mean Girls because it wasn't for them. But like this was not Millennials Mean Girls because it wasn't mean and it didn't make sense. And I'm glad that it wasn't Millennials Mean Girls.
No, I know. They just put Busy Phillips in it and they said, Millennials are going to love this. And I'm like, who are you talking to?
Busy Phillips is great in Girls Five Eva. Like,
yeah, no, she's funny.
Yeah, and I still think she did a good job of what she was given in this
totally.
Film.
I think she was well cast in it. Yeah. It's just like
her and Renee look, I didn't realize that how much they actually look a lot alike. Like it
they've
was
got
great
the exact
casting.
Same jaw, face mm-hmm. shape. Yeah, I was surprised by it too. I'd never clocked that before. I was like,
yeah,
okay. Mommy daughter.
Right.
And where were the fake boobs?
Where's the titty cut out?
I know. No, but like, and when she has like her tits are hard as rock. And the dog,
yeah, the
eating,
dog
the
eating nipple.
She's wearing like a baggy pink velour sweatsuit. Like, stop doing, like, just don't do it then. But don't be like, I'm going to allude to it and like show you that I'm not actually. What?
No.
Well, all right. We hope you all enjoy. Stay mean, girls.
Bye. We'll circle back.
That's what we'll do. Circle right back. But Am I Wrong is a production by me, Megan Rinks.
And me, Melissa DeMont, plus Diamond Imprint Productions.
Post-production by Coco Lorenz.
And production assistance by Melanie D. Watson.